The Hundred Years' War. The Cressy Period. Earl of Lancaster's Winter Campaign in Gascony, 1345-1346. Before going back to Gascony to look at the Earl of Lancaster's Winter Campaign, note that, by the way, when I first started talking about him, he was the Earl of Derby. But on his father's death in September of 1345, he became the Earl of Lancaster, and it's a lot easier for me to pronounce Lancaster than it is to play with Derby, Darby, or what have you. At any rate, back at Westminster, a papal ambassador, Niccolo Canali, Archbishop of Ravenna, was received. He was the harbinger of another pair of peace-making cardinals. He came to, first of all, secure safe conduct for the delegation, and secondly, to draw Edward III's attention to the fact that the truce of Malestroit was still in effect for 9 more months. Edward answered, it was delivered by a household officer, and it basically was a litany of abuse against Philip VI, the King of France. Edward would neither appoint a place nor a date to discuss a permanent peace, and he said that he would claim his rights by force of arms, and then the Pope could send these cardinals with reasonable proposals. Canali asked, where would the cardinals go? This was answered, quote, when the King of England comes, and all Christendom will know of it, and the Pope will have no doubt where those cardinals would go, end of quote. This ended the interview. Edward III was confident that English opinion would support him in any quarrel with the Pope, even if it meant excommunication, or for that matter, the interdict of England. And Pope Clement at Avignon probably believed so as well, which is why he didn't dare to resort to those extremes. Canali stayed at court for a while, since it was Christmas season, and also because his expense allowance was 15 florins a day. Now, how much is a florin? Let me put it to you this way. 300 of them a year is enough for a noble to live very, very, very well. So he's having a good time in England while he's there. In February of 1346, when another messenger was sent by the Pope, that man was actually thrown into prison. So we're not going to have any papal peace talks. Okay, so back to Henry of Lancaster. After the Battle of Oberosch, instead of pressing the siege of Perigny, he left a group of garrisons close by to watch their opportunities and then marched south towards the Garonne Valley to try and recover territory that had been lost in that particular region. Marching into the duchy in a more favorable conditions than any which the English army had up to this point ever enjoyed in the region. The Bastide of Pellegru surrendered on terms. The Bastide of Montségur resisted and was stormed and sacked. By early November, Henry arrived outside La Rouelle. It had powerful defenses and a large French garrison. Henry once remarked, quote, no fortress was strong enough to resist an enemy from within. Well, the enemy happens to be the citizens of La Rouelle. They had no stomach for a siege, and they were not naturally loyal to the French king. Years before, the city was lost to the French in the War of St. Sardos. The town figured prominently in the English duchy. Plus, it had privileges and access to the sea for its wines, and a greater degree of municipal autonomy than the French would tolerate. So the leading citizens decided to deliver the city to Henry of Lancaster on November the 8th, 1345. A feint attack was arranged on one side of the town. The men on watch called for help from the French garrison, while at the opposite side of the city, the gates were opened, allowing the English in. The French were lucky to avoid being trapped. They managed to make it to the citadel, grabbing a herd of pigs in the street that would sustain them for a siege. The English bombardment and assaults failed, so they began a campaign to undermine the citadel. And let's dig underneath the foundations and, you know, undo it that way. Later on, you'll put gunpowder underneath and blow them. After 3 weeks of tunneling, and even Henry took his turn in the tunnel, The garrison commander struck a deal. He said he believed he had resisted enough to save his honor before a French court, but he would have to wait 5 weeks. If no relieving army arrived in 5 weeks, he would simply surrender. So it was a conditional surrender, which was, of course, very common at this particular time. Well, the Duke of Normandy, which is Jean, the Dauphin, was informed, and he did nothing. Now, the Duke of Bourbon was closer, but he couldn't gather up enough men. The Count of Armagnac also tried to raise troops, but by that time it was too late. In early January 1346, La Rochelle surrendered, and its garrison simply marched away. Henry, the Earl of Lancaster, remained in La Rochelle in winter quarters until March of 1346, while most of his army was dispersed. The Earl of Pembroke and Sir James Audley, they went back to England for a while. Those left in the area spent their time raiding poorly defended towns and castles of the enemy. They overran the Garonne Valley between La Rochelle and Saint-Macaire, and even carried out deep raids in the French territory to the north. John of Norwich, with a small force, sieged Angoulême, which, although was a short-lived seizure, it certainly did manage to pile up the loot, which was the whole reason in the first place. Now major French towns, such as Toulouse and Limoges, began diverting men and money to build up their own fortifications instead of sending them to be combined with the French government and French forces. This, of course, led to diverting taxes from the area to the crown for local work, hurting King Philip's finances. And King Philip's finances are not in very good shape. Probably the only person's finances that are in really good shape is the Earl of Lancaster, because he was piling up, you know, in those two battles that he won, the ransoms that he collected were incredible. And so anytime you see lots of loot, it's going to help him out a lot as well. And of course, being on the defensive and holding a position doesn't really get you any money. You've got to defeat the opponent and get your ransom money. So we'll see what happens as we move forward, because we're going to be starting the spring campaign of 1346 here pretty soon. The sources for this: the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, and the Hundred Years' War Volume 1, Trial by Battle by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to buy a CD or give us a little donation. Thank you very much.